Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, you know you're getting older when it's a major travail, a major trial in your life, when you have to switch out an old computer with a new one. And then all of a sudden you're like, what do I do? What button do I press? Anyway, setting that aside, I hope you had a good Labor Day. I hope you had a labor-free Labor Day. And I didn't. I was talking to my wife, Gina, on Friday. And it's a Money Monday on a Tuesday, since yesterday was Labor Day. So we'll get David Fisher up here in just a second. And we've got a lot of big financial things to talk about, some interesting things going on around the world. But on Friday, we were like, well, what are we going to do for Labor Day? You know, I'm asking, hoping it'll be something fun. And she starts talking. Now you got to know this. I've got about 24 years of house painting in my past, okay? As an owner, operator, did a little bit of painting myself. And most people would say when I'd come out, because we were had a pretty big successful company here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and I'd show up to give people prices, and they'd be like, "Oh, Steve, do you do the painting yourself?" And I'd always laugh and say, "No, only when Mrs. Noble asks me to." So on Friday, Mrs. Noble asks me to tells me essentially what we're doing on Labor Day, and that would be to repaint the trim in the kids' bathroom upstairs, and then to repaint the whole powder room down in the kitchen. And so I labored on Labor Day, but I hope you didn't. And I did it for my bride, and I was happy when I was done. And so praise the Lord. Thank you, Gina, for keeping me from relaxing. That's just fine. Anyway, no, seriously, I hope you had a great Labor Day. And we had a fun day despite doing some work. And anytime you get a chance to just hang out with your family, that's a good thing. So I hope you had a good day and we're back into it. Of course, today I was listening. I spent a fair amount of time today listening to the opening salvo of the Kavanaugh hearings for the Supreme Court nominee of Donald Trump. So that'll be something we talk about a lot this week. Tomorrow will be probably one of the more difficult shows I've done in a long time. I have two widows on, and both of their husbands committed suicide. And both of their husbands were pastors. And we mentioned this story recently. You probably saw this on social media. Out in California, a pastor struggling with anxiety and depression had taken his own life a couple weeks ago. So we've got our friend Andy Bowersox with Energize Ministry. He ministers to ministers, and we'll have these two courageous women on the show tomorrow to share with us what we all need to be learning about our pastors' lives and how we can be helpful and a blessing to them. And one person that's a blessing to me and a blessing to you, if you tune into the show often enough, is our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. And yesterday being the first Monday of the month, normally we would do a full Money Monday show, but it was Labor Day. And so I hope, David, you took the day off and enjoyed yourself. And good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wasn't doing any painting. I did some cooking for my family, though, but otherwise it was a very relaxing and labor-free
Excellent.
Day.
Yeah, very good. At least that's one of us. So I'm
my
happy for
sort
you.
Of cooking takes a lot longer than most, so I guess it wasn't as full labor existent compared to some people. So, but anyway, enough about me.
Enough about that. No, I appreciate that. And we got a lot to talk about today. But one thing that we did last week that was really a lot of fun, and you got bombarded, your phones there at Landmark Capital got bombarded with this riddle that you laid out there last week. So let's go through the answer of that and a little explanation, and then we'll get into the meat of it here as we move forward.
We were so bombarded, Steve, it shut down all our three trunk lines were jammed, and it rolled over to our answering service. And the answering service couldn't get through to us because our lines were jammed. And so they sent us an email saying, I don't know why people are calling us. They're trying to give an answer to a riddle. So, I mean, we called everybody back. The response was enormous.
That's cool.
But the riddle was fun. It had to do with trade. And the answer was the Panama Canal. But the riddle was, it was attempted by few, but accomplished by only one. Yet no other entity can do what already has been done. It brought the East and West together, as most say, yet it really runs north and south to some dismay. The United States did own it before it went south, a piece of land, now water, where sand is near its mouth. So some of it, obviously, is pretty obvious. It was attempted by France to build the Panama Canal. once it's completed, it's already been done, so you can't do it again. It really runs north and south, but it brought the east and west together, Pacific, Atlantic, Ocean.
And did you say France attempted to do it?
Yeah, in the early 1800s, actually. They're trying to they put the engineering feet together. They didn't actually start the dig, but they wanted to do it. So
that reminds me of can I drop a little French joke in here for you?
Sure.
All right, so did you see the French military rifle that was being sold on eBay?
No.
The description simply said, never fired, dropped once. So there's my one anti-French joke in my arsenal. Anyway, I did not know that they had original plans for building the Panama Canal. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, this would have revolutionized trade about 100 years earlier, but it wasn't done. So the United States stepped in. They bought it in 1903 for $10 million and paid an annual fee of $250,000. And we said we would protect Panama from Nicaragua. And later in 1997, President Jimmy Carter gave it back to Panama. So it was a piece of land, but now it's water.
Yeah, just an amazing story, and to see what happened there, which, of course, impacted trade around the world, which impacts everybody around the world, especially us here in America and in an economy and in a finance situation where what happens around the world now matters to us more often than not. So let's dive into the markets. We're going to hit our first break here pretty quick. But the markets are up this year, but not as much as last year. So do you still think there's some kind of market correction coming in the future?
Well, I think it's going to happen next year, not this year. Or maybe even 2020, and that's what still most economists are saying, and I adhere to that that belief system. You know, this month represents a 10-year anniversary, something that most investors are not wanting to relive in history, and it's not an anniversary that's talked too much about, but I'm referring to the September 2008 bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers, which what brought down the whole system almost to its knees until the Federal Reserve injected a lot of money. It was the fourth largest investment bank, and it caused a whole bunch of turmoil financially and changed the course, and trillions of dollars were lost as a result of it.
Because, I mean, I know on this one we talk about this pretty often, a market correction and a matter of when, not if, and if not when, everybody runs around that. But we talked about that because right now, recently, right, David, we just kind of set a new record, the longest bull market we've ever seen. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. We're at the 9.5-year market milepost for the bull market.
So something to pay attention to there. We've got a lot more to talk to David Fisher from Landmark Capital about when we come back on a Money Monday on Tuesday. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Special shout out to my friends on Truth Radio up in Des Moines, Iowa. And I have a spy up there. Her name is Jill. Her last name shall remain unsaid, but it starts with a C and it ends with an N. For what, if that takes you somewhere. I was on live at Truth Radio up there in Des Moines, Iowa. They have a great station up there, great station manager, and God's really done an awesome work up there. And then we switched to 8 o'clock, and then today, for some reason, we're on live. So praise the Lord for that. Hello, Des Moines, Iowa. Hope you guys are well. I hope it's cooler there than it is in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's like 90-some-odd degrees today. Jill, thanks for that shout-out. And Jill always is there joining us on Facebook Live. So if you want to do that, some of you listen at different times. Some of you in Honolulu, by the way, listen at a different time and different parts of the country. Sometimes down in St. Augustine's, down in Jacksonville, Florida, they listen in the evening. So if you want to join in on the live conversation, and by the way Facebook Live works is when we go to a commercial break on the radio, we're not on a commercial break on Facebook Live. So it's kind of a conversation within the show, a community within a community, if you will. And if you want to join us there, just go to Facebook. You're probably looking at it right now anyway. In the search box, just put Steve Noble Show. That's all you need to do. Jump over there, like the page, and then you'll see that we're live here today with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital doing a little bit of a Money Monday on a Tuesday. We do with David, we've done this for several years now because the scriptures talk a lot about money and possessions. It's all over the place in the Gospels and the Old Testament. And because God talks about it, makes an issue of it, and I think all of us realize that money and possessions is a big issue for all of us. So because he talks about it on a regular basis, and it's a significant part of Scripture, it's a significant part of the show, and that's why we do these updates most of the time on Mondays, the last segment of the show with David Fisher from Landmark Capital. And then the first Monday of the month, which was yesterday, is when we do a full show. So it's always great to have David with us. LandmarkGold.com is their website, as always, LandmarkGold.com, and we're talking about a lot of different issues today. We're going to get into something later about Russia and China and some things that we've talked a little bit about in the past. Which may have even some more significant impact in the future. We'll get around to that later in the show. But again, the markets are up this year, not as much as last year. And we know that there's a market correction lurking out there. One of the things that we see a lot of volatility with in the last several months is the whole tariff thing. So what's going on with that right now, with tariffs and Donald Trump versus, well, in many ways, it seems like the world?
Well, tariffs play a vital role in market turmoil. In fact, J.P. Morgan's one of their top analysts. His name is Marko Kolanovic. He is predicting that we're going to have another crisis in the market. He calls it the Great Liquidity Crisis. And he says this could be triggered by tariffs. It could be triggered by high debt levels, political fragmentation, dependence upon international sales. In other words, other countries buying our goods or manufacturing services and our products, and also buying our currency called the dollar, treasuries, debt. But he put together a report here that just came out with CNBC picked up this article, wrote this article. He wrote a 168 mega report for J.P. Morgan. So, I mean, this guy is in the know. He's been on CNBC. He has a Ph.D. in theoretical physics, and he's risen predominantly on explaining how those are affecting algorithms in the stock market. And he's saying, get ready for some flash crashes. He's not saying this year, though, so I don't want to alarm people. Yeah. But he says we will have them and next year, and probably what could trigger that is the things that I listed. And so that's why we watched tariffs and debt. That's why we watch the dollar. But he's calling that this would be the biggest flash crash, which would cause a liquidity crisis bigger than 2008. So this is why we look at different reports. But the tariffs are very important. The good news is that looks like we might be striking a deal with Canada this week, hopefully. The bad news is there might be $200 billion worth of tariffs being implemented against China sometime after September 6th, when we'll have a green light to do, when President Trump has a green light to move on that. So this is why we watch these things, because every time there's been tariffs implemented, the market's been pushed downward.
Yeah, and you see just the talk of that. I mean, you mentioned Canada, and hopefully they'll get something worked out if it's good for America, and obviously that Canada's going to want it to be good for them. But, I mean, the Canadian dollar, this is just an article from a few hours ago on CNBC, Canadian dollar drops after Trump's there's no political necessity to keep Canada in a new trade deal. So with tariffs, I think it's important to remind everybody, David, that when he talks about a tariff and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, it's not like the next morning that tariff is implemented. It takes a while, right? It doesn't. But the market reacts to something that's going to happen. But we have to remember tariffs don't get implemented overnight.
You're exactly right. When the announcement is made, that's when the market goes into a withdrawal from it. But the actual implementation of tariffs can happen effectively as far as out into 3 months. So, but they're usually a little bit closer than that, but they're definitely not simultaneously.
So is there any upside right now with the whole tariff talk that's something we can look forward to? Do you expect this to turn into a positive? I mean, I think a lot of people go, yeah, we got to get fair trade deals and America first and all that good stuff. But from a market perspective, is there a benefit that we can look forward to? Or is it all kind of everything still up in the air?
Well, I think once we get past tariffs, then the market will benefit, because there's not going to be any negative news from a tariff standpoint to put pressure, downward pressure on the market, which, you know, tariffs are massive uncertainty and the market doesn't like uncertainty. So then the only other thing that we would be facing is, besides political, you know, who's going to control the House or the Senate, would be just, you know, what's going to happen as far as will we still have economic growth and will we still have, you know, good stability in our economy based upon the tax breaks that we had, and we would continue to, you know, manufacture goods and services. So tariffs are a big, big hurdle. Once we get past that, and it's not going to happen probably this year. And so it's going to take some time, especially with China. In fact, things are more ratcheting up in a more challenging feat with China and us rather than coming together.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you look at, I'm looking at the Dow Jones Industrial for the year, and on January 26th, it had its high at 26,616. Today, it closed at 25,952. There's a lot of movement in between there, a lot of ups and downs. It looks like a good ride at an amusement park. But again, with tariffs, even with all that talk and all the aggressive rhetoric that's been out there, the markets still remain, you know, somewhat stable. Not, it's not a great market, but somewhat stable in terms of it's not too far below its all-time high for the year. And so that's a reminder that I think oftentimes, David, do you have clients, do you have people that you deal with in the industry that it's too easy to let our emotions get the best of us?
Well, I always tell people diversify and don't put all your eggs in one basket. You wouldn't want to have all your money in stocks right now, and neither should you have all your money in gold or all your money in cash and not be in any market. So, I mean, diversification has always been the key. And looking at this with non-emotion and a strategy, and that's why we believe in education. People perish for lack of knowledge or wisdom, Scripture says, and that's why we're big on education.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes it bears repeating that really ever since 9/11, this isn't your father's stock market. Things are a lot more complicated, a lot more international, and a lot more sophisticated now with all the electronic trading that goes on. And so we need to pay more attention now than we ever have, which is why it's so important that we spend some time each week with our good friend David Fisher. When we come back, David, we're going to talk about China. We're going to talk about Russia. There's some, well, interesting and I would say alarming things going on there, and something coming up in the near future that they're doing together that we need to pay attention to. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website. TheSteveNobleShow.com. By the way, if you want to grab the podcast, you can do that there. And also links you to the Facebook Live page if you want to see all the stations that we're on, which is a blessing. And we're looking at some more expansion coming up here in the near future. Right now, we're on in California, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Minnesota, Montana, New Mexico, and then a lot of stations here in North Carolina. But we're looking at adding Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I think we're looking at Omaha, Nebraska, and there was one more in there. I don't recall which one. I think it's South Carolina. What's close to Charlotte? What is that? This is what being 52. This is what happens. Stuff just comes, and then it goes. Like just kind of flies away. I'll remember one of these days. There's a big school there. Help me out, Evan. South Carolina, just south of the North Carolina border. There's a big school there. Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you very much. So there. So adding some more stations, hopefully, in the near future. Praise the Lord for that. And need some of your help with that, but we'll talk about that more later this month. We've got about 4 weeks. 4 weeks from this Thursday, it's our annual worship event, Called to Worship, where Matt Papa comes in, a great worship leader, a great musician. He comes in from Nashville, does the music. But then we have a great testimony that night, which is Caleb Kaltenbach, who's a pastor that was raised by gay parents. He wrote a book called Messy Grace. You can probably put those pieces together. And then a gal's coming with a pro-life friend of mine. She was a manager of a Planned Parenthood clinic, and she's going to be sharing that story and why she left. And she went to work there as a Christian. And so there's some choppy water there, but super excited about her willingness to come and share and kind of take us into that dark world. So that'll all happen here Thursday night, October 4th. If you're here in the Triangle or anywhere in North Carolina, want to come join us. It's an incredible night, very important for the ministry. It's our one kind of public fundraiser of the year. So that's coming up on Thursday, October 4th. Again, go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com. You'll see it right at the top of the page, and you can get your free tickets there. Talking to David Fisher, a Money Monday on a Tuesday, as we're turning towards something that we need to pay attention to oftentimes, David. And again, thanks for your time today. Oftentimes we end up talking about China a lot, and occasionally we talk about Russia. We don't usually talk about China and Russia together, but there's something going on in the near future that we need to pay attention to. We're not freaking out. We're not ringing the bells of alarm, but we're paying attention. We're being discerning, and we're being wise. So what's going on there, David?
Absolutely. Fox News is talking about it. Business Insider is talking about it. The New York Times is talking about it. Reuters is picking it up, talking about it. So this is very well mainstream media, and the topic is a three-letter word, war. I don't think we're going to go to war, but there's talk of escalation of war. And the Pentagon recently released in its annual report to Congress that they're echoing public warnings of war. And top Pentagon officials said that China remains the U.S. military's biggest long-term challenge. So what's happening, Steve, is Russia and China, who normally have not been allies decades ago, have mended their relationships. And Reuters says that Russia and China are the two foremost threats to the United States, named in this official Pentagon report, are carrying out their biggest ever military drill, reportedly including simulations of nuclear warfare. Russia is the world's largest nuclear power, and China is alongside it established as a nuclear power, but they've often clashed against each other, but now they're holding the same goal, and they are targeting the United States. And so they're launching, ironically, on September 11th.
Oh,
why that date, we all know.
Yeah, they picked
the
it,
biggest
sure.
mobilized military exercise since the height of the Cold War, the Kremlin says, citing a tense international climate that is frequently aggressive and unfriendly towards us. That's their verbiage. So there's launching 1,000 aircraft, 900 tanks, 3,000 military troops. Russia and China is joining in, and this is all because of the view President Donald Trump has redefined its national security and defense postures, and both documents pointing towards China and Russia rather than terrorism or climate change, and the biggest threat to them is the United States.
Yeah, and so it's you don't want to speculate too wildly what's behind this, but yeah, you were mentioning the numbers. I'm looking at something right here, September 11th to the 15th, as many as 300,000 troops, 1,000 aircraft, 900 tanks with units from China and Mongolia. Also participating, the drills will be, quote, on an unprecedented scale, both in terms of the area covered and in terms of the numbers, which that came out through Russian state media, which, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Nevertheless, this is a big deal. This is CBS News reported this. Imagine 36,000 pieces of military equipment moving together at the same time. Yeah, that's a little alarming. And do you expect that financially the world will react to that as we move? And September 11th, next Tuesday, so we're talking about next week.
Yeah. Well, I don't think this is going to muddy the markets. I think this is all about money, though. And not to be conspiratorial, but some people say that the Gulf War was more about money than about weapons of mass destruction. And some people might not be aware of this, but Saddam Hussein was trying to dethrone the dollar in his area and his regions. And so some believe that's why we actually went in, and a major reason, not the only reason, why we fought. There is a concerted effort with Russia and China to dethrone the dollar. In fact, we've been talking about it for over a year now. And this is, I believe, the undergirding behind this. So I think, you know, we're going to support our currency, support our having the world reserve currency. And, you know, we did respond already. Last month we sent the aircraft carrier Carl Vinson for the first time in Vietnam since 1975, a visit Da Nang, and so we're definitely showing some influence military-wise there. I'm not alarmed. I don't think we're going to war. I think there's just posturing here, and this is all about money is how I see it.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, which I think would be a good time to talk about this in general, which is the petro-yuan and what China's been doing there relative to the oil industry and what happens around the world and being in competition with America. So take us back into that for people that don't know about that, because we've added stations, I think, since the last time we talked about that, David. But what's the petro yuan and how does that kind of factor into this conversation?
Well, we took our gold off our currency in 1971 under Nixon, so we had to create a new reason for the world to hold the dollar, and that was done through OPEC in 1974, becoming the petrodollar. All oil would be traded in contracts in dollars. 2 years ago, China started gathering steam. Well, they've been doing this since 2001, actually, but they launched their first ability to circumvent the dollar and buy oil outside of the dollar. And they launched their petrol wand here early this year, and that was in March. And now we're seeing this month the first physical settlement of Chinese yuan-denominated oil future contracts totaling 600,000 barrels of oil that was bought out of the Middle East in crude. And so this is actually, the money is now coming full circle, and other countries are joining in. Russia's joining in, and there's a few other countries. Iran is talking about joining in. And this is the start of many trades to compete with the dollar and try to attempt to dethrone the dollar of its oil contracts. And if we lose that that ability to do that, we lose a significant amount of revenue for our country, because it costs a little amount of money to print dollars or create contracts, and the rest of the world does not like the rhetoric on where we've been moving as a country, and so they're fighting back financially through opposition.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting, 600,000 barrels in and of itself isn't a big number relative to what's happening worldwide on any given day, but it is a serious, the fact that they started the petro yuan at all, which was obviously to compete with the U.S. dollar. I think a lot of this is saber rattling. I think a lot of this is posturing. But on the financial side, this is real. This is you could call it a financial saber rattling or a financial war, which I think is real. I don't expect it anytime soon to turn into a military war. But the financial side of this, certainly, I think this is aggressive, and I think it's on purpose, obviously. And it's against, quote unquote, it's against the United States of America. Or am I kind of overstepping my description there?
No, you hit the bullseye. And this, when we became the world reserve currency, it didn't happen overnight, Steve. It took over a decade for that to happen. And China has been slowly, methodically plotting this move out. And now we're the cat's out of the bag, so to speak. But it's going to be a long time, in my opinion, before they totally dethrone the dollar, even if they ever will. But they certainly are going to compete with the dollar, and 600,000 barrels of oil is very small in the scheme of contracts, but it's the start of many more to come, unfortunately.
Yeah, just the beginning, a little drip in what most likely will be a deluge at some point. Talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. It's a Money Monday on a Tuesday. Again, the first Monday of the month, we do a full show with David and go down all these roads that can affect all of us financially with our investments. And we'll talk about one thing that a lot of people tend to misunderstand, which is the role of precious metals in all this. We'll go there with David. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, doing a little Money Monday on a Tuesday, as yesterday was Labor Day. And I hope you had a great day. Hope you had a great day off. And just a reminder, sometimes people will ask me, not very often, it's kind of built into the fabric of the show now, but people will be like, Steve, why do you talk about financial issues regularly? Well, that's an easy answer, because Jesus did. Jesus talked a lot about money. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions in the Gospels, for an example. As an example, an amazing 1 out of 10 verses, there's 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer specifically. Less than 500 specifically about faith, isn't that interesting? But more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions, because God knows where our hearts can go. And I'm trying to remember who said this, that the human heart is a idol factory, and we certainly can be. And even if you don't have a lot of money, money can be a problem. Money can be a problem whether you have a lot, whether you have a little, if you have a medium amount. Because it's such a big part of our lives, and it's a real issue, it affects us daily. And it's a big part of our heart journey and trying to be obedient to the call of the Lord. Most Christians don't tithe. And in America, for example, we spend 5% of our gross income on entertainment, but less than 2% on church and charity. So that shows you where our priorities are, right? So most of us struggle with this. And one of the things that we can use to overcome it is to have knowledge, to have some wisdom, and get some guidance, which is why we talked to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital on Mondays. And again, it's a full show today, but next Monday it'll just be a Money Monday update, as we call it, the last segment of the show. And we always dive into some scripture to start with, and that's great, and then kind of keep an update, David keeps his eye on this. He's studying these things all the time, and then he helps us to understand what is normally very complex issues. But again, David, it's always great to have you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure. You know, this should be simple that a child could understand it, and we try to bring it, boil it down to simplicity and to help lots of people have wisdom with their financial portfolio there.
Amen. And one of the things that now what you've and David's was a youth pastor. God's had his hand on David's life, and it has a very interesting journey. But you've been in precious metals for what, over 20 years now, right?
25 years last month, actually.
Wow, how about that? Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
And it is, and you always talk about this. You know, David and I spent hours on the phone before we ever did radio together because, like many of you, perhaps you're thinking, oh no, the gold, the precious metals, all that kind of stuff, Glenn Beck and all these crazy websites and that kind of stuff. I thought the exact same thing until I started getting educated and then realized it wasn't the only thing, but it's an important thing. And as you look at an investment portfolio, diversification, David talks about a lot. And in my simple mind, I sit there and go, okay, we have a lot of regular investments down here on one end of the teeter-totter, stocks and mutual funds and such. On the other end, do you have anything balancing that out? And that's where precious metals come in. So let's just do a kind of a recap of gold and what's going on this year as we've moved past half the year and into the second half of the year, David, where the market's been kind of flat. What's gold been doing and how should we look at it?
Well, gold is down just a little bit, 1% year to date. We're moving into the biggest movement upward in gold this month, September is, for gold, and ironically the worst for stocks historically. Gold is seasonal typically. China kicks in, buys more gold, so does Russia this time of year. India is the biggest buyer of gold for jewelry purposes. This is their season. So this is why we usually see gold start to make its move. It's averaged since the 70s, early 70s, when gold became open to the United States, about 2.1%. It's rose in the month of September. So this is the time to be looking at adding to your portfolio or getting started for the first time. There's nothing magical about gold. Countries buy gold. Individuals, corporations buy gold. It's like having insurance, diversification. Many people have health insurance. You wouldn't put all your money in a health insurance plan, but you would have one. And same thing with car insurance, or some people have life insurance. And so those are homeowners insurance. Gold is just the same thing. Not that you're going to use gold to go to the grocery store because the dollar crashed, but if stocks go down, like many people are saying that we will have a correction, it's no matter of if, but when. Gold went up over 50% the first year in 2008 and went on a multi-year run while stocks just didn't perform that well until a few years later. So it's important to have a well-diversified portfolio, and that's what gold does.
Why do you think so many people, I mean, I don't think I was out of the ordinary when we first started talking, which was probably almost 3 years ago now, why do you think so many people are hesitant about gold? They've made their mind up about the use of precious metals. How do you think we kind of got there? Because this is more, that's kind of a modern take on it. If you go back 75, 80 years, I mean, because the gold was the standard by which our currency was based on, it was pretty common knowledge back then. But now it's a lot of people are kind of like, oh, no, here we go. Now you want to sell me a safe and some food storage.
Well, with the advent of 401ks, Wall Street has done a phenomenal job at advertising and marketing towards stocks. And so gold competes against that, and that's why they typically don't understand gold, Wall Street, that is. And if you go to your financial planner, stockbroker, or money manager, they're not going to have usually historically good things to say about gold because it competes against them withdrawing funds out under their umbrella.
Right.
But I think some of it is also tied to the connotation. I mean, I cringe, Steve, still when I hear people talk about gold on the radio and they talk about the sky is falling. And obviously, I've never said that on your program and never will, or any national radio program, because that's not my belief. In fact, I educate against it because there's no sound reason and financial fundamentals behind it to say that the dollar is going to crash. So, we believe in America, just like you and I and many believers who listen to your program. And so buying gold to them without the understanding of how simple it is connotates I must not believe in America if I have to buy gold. So it's a negative. So it's, but gold is a positive. It stabilizes the portfolio. There's been surveys done out of Yale and financial surveys done on gold in the portfolio where it actually lowers your risk and raises the profit potential. So it's just misunderstood because early on, a lot of people who are, say, the sky is falling propagated gold that way.
Yeah. And how do you – I'm gonna sidestep here a little bit. So how does your – you're my brother in Christ. You were a youth pastor before. How does your faith, your walk with the Lord, kind of impact or guide or influence your business life, David? It's a question that we've talked about before. It's been a while, but I think it's important because – sometimes we think it's secular sacred divide, right? I have my job and stuff, and then I go to church and I have my small group. But no, our Christianity should be everything in our life. So how does your faith kind of interact with your business life?
Yeah, it's seamless. My dad, who is very well respected, growing up as a businessman and served with President Reagan in the feed industry, I learned some very good business practices from him, how he walked his faith out, and he said, your word is your bond. Integrity is everything. And so my integrity is the most important thing to me as a person, and that's why when I say something on the radio that might be controversy, something like today we're talking about war, it's very important that I run this by you because I respect you and your show. The same goes for people's money. I help people be a good steward of the funds the Lord's entrusted to them. And history has proven that having a small portion of their money in gold is a beneficial thing. And therefore, I can have faith in the markets and faith in God at the same time, but not let the markets be my God.
Yeah, what a great point. Not let the markets be my God. And I think, and again, I said this earlier, whether you have a little, a lot, or kind of a medium amount of net worth or money or cash, however you want to put it, in investments, we're all called to stewardship. That's the whole point of the parable of the talents. One got 10, one got 5, one got 1. And all of it mattered. It all matters to God. Whether you have a little bit or a lot or a medium amount, it all matters. And that education part, which is something I really appreciate about you and how you run your business, about education and the newsletters and information. So what kind of information is out there right now? Because I know you're always cranking out good content and helpful content and newsletters and such. What's available right now for people?
Well, the thing that's fresh off our press, Steve, just came out last week. It's our monthly newsletter, and this is called Tariffs, the Untold Story, Part 2. Part one is out there already. They can get it at our website at landmarkgold.com. They can get the new newsletter also by calling our company. And then we also have a report, kind of goes hand in hand with the analyst from J.P. Morgan said about a bubble bursting. And that is something that's very helpful. It's called Time is Up, Which Bubble Will Burst First to Trigger the Coming Great Deflate. It goes hand in hand with what a lot of economists are saying we're going to face. And we have a whole literature packet on how you roll over your IRA into gold. And so we're big on education. We have a thing called the Financial Blueprint that we go over and interact with people on helping them understand the need for gold and what it does and the benefits to it.
And again, how can people get their hands on it? How can people contact you?
One of a couple ways. They can go to our website at landmarkgold.com, or they can call us the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882.
All right, brother. Thank you so much for being on today. I appreciate you, and thanks for answering that other question. I kind of took you off topic a little bit, but that's such good insight for all of us and how to fold our faith into our regular daily walk and business walk. David Fisher, Landmark Capital. I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, man. We'll talk again real soon. There you go, David Fisher. Again, he said landmarkgold.com is their website, 844-879-8882. Tomorrow will be a difficult show. I've got two widows calling in. Both their husbands committed suicide. Both their husbands were pastors. So that issue came up recently. A fairly young pastor out in California took his life, struggled with anxiety and depression. So we're going to hear these stories tomorrow. We'll also have on the show with me Andy Bowersox, who's with Energize Ministries, which is here in North Carolina. He ministers to ministers, and his pastor in the past actually committed suicide. This is a much bigger problem than most of us know. but it's something we need to be aware of, and it's something we need to be involved in. We'll talk to them tomorrow. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.